It's well, it is morning time, my time. And but we did. We arrived. Was supposed to arrive Friday night, but we had some difficulties in with one of our connections in Shanghai, so we got delayed and we didn't get here till Saturday morning. And so, but I had to do Friday night two times. We left Shanghai Friday night China time, which you're like 14 hours ahead of. We're 14 hours ahead of you, so we left Friday night, which had been Thursday morning your time. So we left Friday night about 9 p.m. and then got to Shanghai and we had to wait some things and got to L.A. Then L.A. we arrived. What time was it? Five in the morning. Five in the evening. Yeah, five in the. I don't remember. Five in the afternoon, and then it was, you know, Friday night again. And we had to fly all Friday night to get to Atlanta, Atlanta to here. So we got here Saturday morning around 10:30. So they always say if you don't do it right the first time, you have to do it again. So we did Friday night twice. So we, and both nights we flew the whole night. So it's been kind of a long trip, and get a little old for these kind of trips, but. It's a blessing always to be back in America. It's a blessing to be back in churches. And it's a blessing to be able to tell people what's happening in China. I always ask the question, has anybody been to China? One over here, one here. All of you need to raise your hand. You've been to Walmart, right? If you've been to Walmart, you've been to China, you know. But but that's not funny, though, is it? Or is it? It's funny? Okay, all right. But as you do know, you know, China is growing. Their economy is growing. It's unbelievable what's happening over there in China. Just in the 25 years that we've been there, it's been remarkable to see what God's doing. And as far as every aspect of China. Now, literally, I could keep you here all night, and we would not cover the bases of what's happening in China. And but there's just tremendous things with relationship with two countries and how China's wanting to relate to other countries. Pretty much they're all over the world right now. So if you haven't really noticed a lot about China, believe me, these upcoming years you'll learn more about China, and they'll be in the forefront of many things. Now, you do know how much of a debt does, I mean, does, how much of our debt does China own? Does that tell you something? Okay. But my wife's here. Cindy, stand up back there. I think everybody's seen Cindy earlier. And which is the red light. The light. The top. This right there. Oh, there. Yeah. Okay. Make sure I knew it. We're out of Victory Baptist Church in Millbrook, Alabama. And that's our sending church. We've been there since 1981 when I first got out of the Air Force. I need to update our picture. I had one that before that was kind of nobody understood. I had hair in that other picture. So I thought I better go ahead and just change my picture. So I did. But we're on the island of Hainan. Now, Hainan is a little island here from the north point to the south point, about 200 miles, east to west, about 200 miles. We always say we're kind of under Hong Kong, but right next to us is Vietnam. And on that island, you're talking about 8 million people. And most states our states are not even 8 million. I mean, like Alabama, our state's about 4 million. Imagine doubling our population in our state and then shrinking the state down, you know, about half. And so that gives you an idea of, you know, sizes. There's something that Hudson Taylor said many years ago. Now, I find there are three stages to every great work of God. You know, first it's the impossible, then it's the difficult, then it's done. When you think about that, when we first went to China, you know, 25 years ago, it was just amazing as I looked at all the opportunities, all the needs, and but yet all the limitations that we have in China. And I said, Lord, this is impossible. But each year that we stayed there, we started to see things just somewhat change from the impossible to the difficult. And then we're seeing things being done right now. We've got, you know, several underground churches over there right now. We've got men called to preach, about seven men called to preach. And they're actively preaching, ministering. Now, they can do much more than what I could ever do. But, you know, the limitations that we have is not really a weakness. It just means more of them have to step up to the plate and do something. So pray for, you know, the work there. A lot of times when we see missions or talk about missions, what ends up happening is we just see we see the country as just names. You know, you see, you know, Russia, you know, China, you know, Mongolia. You know, missions is not just names of countries. It's not just names of people. And that's one thing you really got to take heed to when you think about missions. Don't let it be just come names of places. Now, there's people in these places. And that's what you got to remember above all, that these are, when we talk about China, really we're talking about the Chinese people. That's one-fifth of the world's population. All right, now when you also think about the challenges of 1040 window, these are the latitude lines that go across the, you know, on your map, through those lines. But that's this 1040 window of all these countries right here, that's 35% of our land mass, 65% of the world population. 95% of these have never heard the gospel. And also in this area is 90% of the world's poorest people. So this window of opportunity here is amazing of what needs to be done by the church here in America. You know, when we think about what we have in America, we have everything. We've got more than we've ever imagined, but yet we think we need more. America, we don't need more. We need us to be doing more things. And once we start realizing we need to be doing more, I think God will give us the more things that we wish. But this area here is just amazing of all the opportunities that we have. And, of course, we're right there in that, you know, spot there. And when you think of China, of course, it's which country is bigger, China or America? America. We all think, you know, border-wise and stuff. And we're right at 6 million miles total area. We got beat by just a little bit. But their east coast is just like ours. That'd be pretty much like New York. Down here would be like the Carolinas. Up here would be like Maine. And then this would be like their California. But really, we've got more area space than China. And remember, their population is a whole billion more than us. When you talk about their population, you're talking about a billion, 0.3. Ours is just 320 million. I mean, their 0.3 is bigger than us. When you look at their population, it's just people, 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 people. When you walk down the streets in some of their larger cities, I mean, it's always shoulder to shoulder. When you think of Haikou, it's a very modern city. You'll see, you know, nice highways. You see these tall buildings. I think Stephen, he was there a couple of years ago. You remember this area, Stephen? Or not been too long ago. But you've got a mixture of, you know, old and new. You've got a strong mixture. And a lot of traditional places in some of the countryside. These are little temples that they'll worship different gods with. But you go to Sangya. This is one of their temples that they have in the Gulf out there, Guanyin. This is the old street. It was really a Portuguese street as a part of Haikou many years ago. And they just recently redecorated like a little tourist place. But when we first got there 25 years ago, all of Haikou was like four floors, five floors, six floor apartments. There's no really houses in China. Everything's apartments. And slowly they're tearing down these areas here, and all these high rises are going up. Right now, I mean, they said they've already used more sand in the last 50 years than all of Europe and America has in the hundreds of years that we've been in existence as far as in their building. That gives you an idea of how much construction is going on. But, you know, the streets are just like our streets, you know, and a lot of people, when they think of China, they're thinking very old, and it's really not that old. I mean, everything's just brand new in China. This kind of the center of downtown, and it's just, you know, very modern city. When you think about people there, you know, the streets, you talk hit too many times. Now, we usually have a lot of traffic jams in America, but they've got people jams. When you try to cross the interstate, this intersection is right at our school, and this is how many people are trying to get across, and they get tangled in with the, you know, cars trying to go through the streets. But there's, it's just amazing when you think about all the people, and you got 1.3 billion people. Now, they've got the bullet trains and regular bus systems like the air-conditioned buses. They've probably got a better transportation system than most cities here in America. And then in some of the countryside, you got the old three-wheel, you know, trike there, but transportation in Hainan is just very easy and flexible. There's a verse there. You know, it says, the Lord looks from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of habitation, he looked upon all the inhabitants of the earth. And notice, he fashioned their hearts alike. We always think we're very different than everybody. Right? We're not. He fashioned their hearts alike. You need to think about that for a moment. You know, when you go throughout the different countries, traveling on mission trips, you know, you see a Chinese person or a person from, you name any country you want, we think we're different. Yes, our language is different. Yes, our cultures are different. But when God looks down, He fashioneth their hearts alike. You know what? If I have heart disease and get sick, they can put a new heart in me, right? Heart transplant. All right, let's say they put a Chinese heart in me. Does it change me? Do I start liking fish eye soup more than I do pizza and hamburger? That's why I said, no way. You know, He fashioneth their hearts alike. Yes, we do have some differences. Some tall, some short, right? I know what it's like to be short. Y'all believe that? I'm the smallest one in my family. You want to meet my big brothers? Oh, no, that was a dud. But, you know, in the town there, you got all kind of places where they like to hang out. There's, you know, shopping's very outdoor shopping. There's a lot of, like this old lady, you don't mess with her. She'll throw me clear across the basketball court. You know, so, you know, but they do a lot of, you know, martial arts type things, and guys are hanging around the corners playing Chinese chess and drinking tea. So it's, you know, it's very, you know, very common culture, I guess you say. I'm the president of the IEA. I formed that at the government's request many years ago. And through this organization, we can bring teachers into China. Now, to go into China, I cannot go in there openly as a missionary. I have to go in there as a conversational English teacher. Now, imagine someone from Alabama being a conversational English teacher. Ah, I got you. Okay. Yeah. They got that southern drawl. You know, but they, we do. We have a good time, and but we're there as teachers. And now in China, we in the States, we say you turn a blind eye to something. Well, in China, they say open one eye, close one eye. As long as I'm good at teaching and very professional, they just choose not to see that I might be doing some church work. So they open one eye as long as I do the teaching part good, and they close this other eye. And this is why we bring teams into China. It really makes China happy that we're bringing teams in to help them. They think that's a greater need than worrying about the church work. So as long as I keep a balance in China, they allow us to stay in China. I even have a certificate from Beijing. Everything in China is this red seal. This is not just a provincial seal. This is the at the, or like Washington, D.C. level. When you have this, it opens up doors to do many things. We are constantly in contact with the Beijing officials, and it's been a blessing to, you know the different officials throughout the years. And it's kind of an older picture here. When we attended some of their meetings of it's called SAFIA, and that'd be like our Secretary of Education in America. And, but every year we'd go to Beijing and meet with the different officials here. And yes, I am head and shoulders kind of taller than most Chinese people. We take teams in throughout the years. Sometimes we get a bus, sometimes line up several cars, but we bring teams in and that's meeting them at the airport. This is our last year's team. This is one of our smaller teams. John and Sarah, they're full time with us right now. She's getting ready to do some paperwork right now. She's coming in right now. Seth and Kim's right there with us. Carol, and there's some others on another team that are not in this picture here. But this is our team from 2 years ago, and just a great bunch of kids come in. She's there with us right now, and Brother Seth, Kim, John and Sarah's there with us right now, and the White family's there for 3 years. They had to go back home. They both lost their parents. Their father died within 2 weeks of each other last year. So, you know, God's blessed with some many young, good young people to go into China. This is a team even a little bit earlier. Lydia's there with us right now. And I don't think Josh and I'm not calling her name. What's her name? Laura. I couldn't get the name out. They were there for a year, and you know God's blessed in their lives. They're at PCC. They're instructors there. This is our workshop with the government. The government workshop brings teachers in from the countryside, all over the island, to one location, and our teachers have a chance to be their helpers in English. So each one of these got a certificate from our summer workshop that we put on. So all these are English teachers at middle schools or elementary schools in China. And so by having the IEA, we're allowed to travel anywhere on the island because we help with education. They don't keep up where I go. They'll say, Mr. Mills, go here, and I'll go there. And there's that tall man from America who teaches English. Nobody worries about where I'm at because I'm there with education. So throughout the years, this is the education official right here, and we'll be having another summer workshop this coming summer, and we'll be working with their teachers. So it's kind of a frustrating thing to have to use English as a means to be there, but it's a blessing. And we do. We have a lot of fun. You know, we cut up, and they just, you know, you can have fun being an English teacher. This again, just some of our young people that was there this last summer. She's doing her paperwork. She graduated in December, and she'll be there before I get back in March. She'll be already there. And so our students from PCC have a great time teaching. These are brothers. Two brothers came. Englehart brothers. This is our Vacation Bible School. This is the parents coming, watching the kids do a performance there at the Vacation Bible School. Here's, you know, just the elementary age there. Right when I left, this one was really last year, but this was happening right when I was leaving. These four young people here received the Lord as their Savior just a few weeks ago. And this is another group that he had as younger, and Joseph, and he led these four to the Lord. And this one, like, you know, having fun there. Last year we had a big teen vacation Bible school. This, you know, some of our team was there to help with that. These are the teens. And I think we had six teens saved last summer. Back in 2004, I was sent to Beijing. We won the National Friendship Award and opened up doors for us. That's the Public Security Bureau. I'm not in trouble. But what they've done, here's a green card. I've got a green card, a Chinese green card. This is a visa good. I just got it renewed last year, but I didn't receive it until about a month ago. And I'm good all the way to 2027. So I can go and come in China as I please. No need to have a visa or anything. So God's really blessed in our ministry, and it's been a blessing to see what God does. These are some of the officials that we know. All these officials know that Cindy and I are Christians. They don't mind that we're Christians. These are some of our preachers. That's, you know, Simon, Joseph, Peter, Leo, and Kenny, and Brian here. We got another guy that's wanting to be preaching. I need to update that picture, so we've got Joe now. This is our church on Sunday morning, Victory Baptist Church. This is True Light Baptist Church on Sunday night, Peter's group. In Wen Chung, where Brian is, that's his group there in Wen Chung. This is some of the ladies there in Wen Chung that we know. On Wednesday night, we just started this on Wednesday night. We've got two nights, Wednesday and Thursday night, midweek meetings. We can't do them all on Thursday night, so we added another night on Wednesday. And we've got another place in Guamau that we don't have a picture of, another location. But this is our Wednesday night group that we just started. And Peter, there he is. Peter, he's our pastor there. And 20 of these are first-time visitors. One of the owners of this office here wanted to learn about the Bible. He called Peter, and he brought all of his friends. So by the end of this year, we're hoping most of these will be saved. We'll give a report back that we've got a new church started and many new saved ones. We do have, you know, baptisms and things, and this is one group that we were about 2 years ago. We baptized out of a kiddie pool, and that's a long ways to go down and a long ways to bring them up. But we've got a bigger pool now. But this is some of the people we work with. There's Jim and Katie, Seth and here's John and Sarah, Seth and Kim. Carol's been with us many years. All these young people came on a mission trip, and they decided to come back and teach a year, 2 years, 3 years. Matt and Lydia, Anthony and Rachel. It was funny, she came and stayed in China 2 years, came back to get married, and she told her husband, after we got married, we're going to go work in China for 1 year. And so she brought her husband to China. This is Rachel and Crystal. They came to some workshops before, and now they're teaching in China right now for a year or two. And, you know, God's just blessed. That's Josiah. And just every year there's been some special things that happen. So William Carey said something, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Now, what's your expectations for this area? Really, this area is not going to change unless you expect it to change. You realize that? God's done His part at Calvary, and He's given us a message to carry to the world. Of course, it begins here, and then when you begin here, it will grow to other locations. But you've got to expect great things. Now, if God can use an army sergeant, I was a master sergeant in the military, never would have dreamed of being called to China. Imagine a master sergeant from Alabama being called to teach conversational English in China. Does that make sense? It don't. It don't make a bit of sense. But you know what? If God had to resort to calling me to China, that means there's a lot of people who are supposed to have gone who wouldn't go. Does that make sense now? How many educated professors should be over there doing something? How many people with teacher's degrees should be doing something? And God said, well, Eddie, they won't go. Will you go? I went. You know what? God can use you, but you got to expect great things. And when you expect great things from God, you'll be able to attempt some great things. Having a Chinese green card is amazing. I just never would have dreamed, something like that could happen in my life. And now, one thing we think about adding to our list of things to do, not just China, but Vietnam also has some needs for teachers. I made a trip in Vietnam last year. Now, I'm just waiting to see what will happen, how God will open that up. So in the near future, we might be sending teams to China and Vietnam. Attempt great things, right? Expect great things. Hey, we need some help. Need somebody to help us in Vietnam. All right, so what are you expecting? Really, that's something you got to answer yourself. Now, what are you expecting? And, did I hit something? Okay. All right, now, tonight I want to show you some things about, how do we witness to the Chinese people? Of course, when you go there, the Chinese people are not, they're not westernized, of course, if you want to say something like that. They think the Bibles and Christianity is from the West. And they'll start, saying, well, Mr. Mills, we're over 4,000 years old. And they say, how old is America? How old is America? Yeah, so what, that, is it 240 years? We're young, right? They say, we were around before y'all was even thought about being something. And so they're thinking we're bringing an American religion to them, and they don't want to be part of American religion. They say, we've already been here. And so they've got to realize that Christ and things of the Bible, let me ask you this. How old is Jesus Christ? I know he's from eternity, but Jesus was born when? 2,000 years ago. They see Jesus as a young person. We was here 2,000 years before your God ever showed up. Why should we believe in your God? So when they start asking questions like this, they somewhat got you. And I said, well, Lord, there's got to be a way to witness to them where we can overcome this problem of them thinking they're older than the world. They're older than everything. And then now God's, done something. He gave us a verse there in Matthew 4, and he said to them, follow me, and I'll make you, supposed to be fish, make you fishers of men. How many of y'all like fishing? All right. What do y'all fish for around here? Don't say fish. What do y'all fish for around here? Catfish. What else? Redfish, brims, catfish, sheephead. All right, let me ask you, do you use the same bait for every fish? If you try to use the same bait, what's going to happen? You're going to have a lot of failures. Can you use the same hook for every fish? You can. If you go deep sea fishing, you got a huge hook, right? You go catfish fishing, you got a bigger hook. If you start fishing for smallmouth, like, we call it crappie down in the South. I don't know what you call them down here. Look, you got a real small mouth. You'll never catch anything. You've got to have different baits, different hooks, if you're going to be a great fisher of men. Fisher of fish. Okay, to be a fisher of men, just the same thing. You've got to have different means of reaching people. Believe it or not, not everybody's going to be one to the Lord on John 3:16. If that's the only hook you've got, it's John 3:16. That's why you're not catching fish. Different people need different verses or different stories from the Bible. If it was possible to win everybody through one story, your Bible would be much smaller. It would have fewer stories. The reason your Bible's got so many stories is because there's so many different people's lives got different needs, different personal needs that they need, and you have to tell different stories. You need a tackle box full of hooks and sinkers and lines and weights, and that's, you know, when you go fishing, and you need the same thing when you go fishing for men. Do you need different Bible stories? All right, now what we do, I want to show you some things about the Chinese language. Now, inside the Chinese language is the Genesis story. Now, their language, they said for years, is around 5,000 years old, but really and truly, they're backing that off. They're saying about 3,500 right now. But this language is at least 4,000 years, if you go by what most books would say. Now, does that look like anything familiar that you've ever seen before? We call that just chicken scratch. You're chicken scratch the ground, right? All right, now that's the word create. All right, now those are not random strokes. It's just not strokes that are thrown up there that have no purpose, no meaning. What I'm doing, I'm going to break it down and show you within their language is the Bible story of Genesis. Now, once the Chinese see this, they start realizing, wow, you know what? This is before America was born. This is before English. This is something my fathers knew. They use the word ancestors. This is something my ancestors knew. If this is something they knew, then they'll say, well, I need to know it too. And so this has been very successful to use in China. And it doesn't matter the age, whether it's young or old. They can see this, they can taste it, and they can realize that this is something that was here thousands of years ago. And they'll realize this can't be just some accident in our language. Now what I'll do, I'll take that one part here out. There's like a plus mark, or you can say a cross on the line right there. You move it down. That's the word dust. Now, why do you think the word dust is in the word create? Now, see, you already know something. Wheels are already turning. I mean, you grew up in Sunday school. You grew up in Vacation Bible School. You grew up in church, or you've been around church. You've been around the Bible, or you've read the book of Genesis. You've done these things, and as soon as you start seeing these parts, immediately something will happen in your mind because you realize the Bible story. Now, they see the word dust and the word create, they're clueless. They have no reason to know, why would my fathers put dust there? Now, why are they clueless today? The Bible's been taken away. They don't have a Bible to read. What's happening in America today? Is our Bible being slowly removed from society? When the Bible's gone, you'll have what you see in America today. You've got a people that's not under the Word of God anymore. Used to, the Bible was taught in schools. People would stand up and prayer would be in school. The Ten Commandments would be displayed. And little by little, these things have been removed. When these things are removed, you've got a generation of young people today that have no respect for church, no respect for God, no respect for parents, no respect for authority. And you'd be kind of back to the jungle again. You know, America, if America doesn't have a revival, a great awakening again, we will cease to be a people for the same reason that happened with China many years ago. So I pull that one word out. How many of you can draw a box? Only a few? How many of y'all can draw a box? You can write Chinese. If you can write a cross on a stick, you can write Chinese. That box is the word mouth. All right, so you got dust in mouth. You got dust up here, and you got the little like on box on the stands here. But dust in mouth right here. Again, if you know the Genesis story, you understand why there's a mouth. Take the dust dust in mouth, put it together, and just add this little apostrophe right here. That's going to be the word for talk. That little curvy L off to the side is the ability to walk. Now, after I draw this out, I'll write this out, and I'll say, well, I'll set them up, say, guys, how old is your language? And they'll say, you know, it's thousands of years old. And I'll say, are these random marks? And they'll say, no, our fathers had a purpose. This means something. These are not random marks. Now, I ask them, well, what did your fathers mean when they put this word together? And they said, well, really, we don't know. We lost a lot of books throughout all the different cultural revolutions that they've had. They've had multiple civil wars. Libraries have been burnt. I said, well, I've got a book that explains to you what this word means. And they'll kind of look at me, well, you've got a book that can explain what our language means? I said, yeah, sure, it's called a Bible. And they'll kind of say, oh, yeah, you mean a Bible knows something about Chinese. I said, well, let's see. Now, turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Genesis 2, verse 7, it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed to his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. And I'll show them, I said, your fathers knew what the creation story was. Man's made from the dust. Man has a mouth. Man can talk. Man can walk. I said, to capture the idea of create, they put these four parts together to show what God's greatest creation was. See, God's greatest creation was not the sun, moon, and stars. What was God's greatest creation? Because man is made in the image of God. And they captured that idea through this word create. Now, when the Chinese, when they see this, they see all these parts, you know, man's made the dust, man has a mouth, man can talk, man can walk. Their mouth falls. But Mr. Mills, this is from the West. All right, let's see. How old is your language? Why do we do this? All right, how old is your language? Yeah. How old is Chinese language? Which was first? And they'll just... their mouth will fall. And as they start, now this is a real big hit for them because they've been taught through their education system. They've been taught that, you know, the Bible is, you know, is from the West, Christianity is from the West. And they start seeing something like this. They say, wait a minute, you mean my fathers knew this? What did our fathers know 200 years ago? What do our fathers know today? What happened? See, something's happened. Now, they'll look at that. Now, someone will say, well, you know what, Mr. Mills, that's got to be just a coincidence. Now, folks, is that a coincidence? Now, I'll say, well, if it's a coincidence, how many more would I have to show you where it would not be a coincidence? They say, well, there's like four or five more. I said, okay, all right, we'll play the four or five game. And look at verse 8. It says, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, there He put the man whom He had formed. All right, so we'll do the word garden next. To see what you already learned here. See what you remember. What's that? Did he write? See, he's already reading Chinese. All right. That's the word dust. What's that? All right. Now, why you got dust and mouth in the garden? All right. Now, this is a symbol. Now, look at verse 8. See if you can figure out this next part. Lord God planted the garden eastward in Eden. There He put the man whom He had formed. What do you think that word is? Man. All right, it's really more than that. It's two people. This one part here is man or person. This is the same character, but it's on its side. How many people were in the garden? Where did that second person come from? The side. Just a coincidence, right? Is that a coincidence? All right. Then there's a box that's around the whole character, and that's got to do with the ability to be enclosed, in an enclosed area. So the first word dust had four parts. The word garden has four parts. Now that's eight parts that tell the Bible story. And I look at the person, and I say, there's eight already. Is that a coincidence? And they'll go, they're wanting to go like that, but they don't know which one to do. I mean, it's a shock to them. They've been taught through education that everything that's from the Bible is from the West. This is an American religion. This is from American society. This is something that the Americans do. The Bible's from the West. I said, well, your ancestors are how old? Yeah. God said, I'll make you fishers of men. So you've got to go fishing with something that they can understand. Now, most missionaries, when they first go over there, they want to just do the John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You know what happens when the Chinese hear the verse, for God so loved the world? Your God loves everybody and anybody. So our gods love us the best. For God so loved the world that He did what? Gave His only begotten Son. Think about that. China had a one-child policy for years now. They just recently went back to two. But you talk about giving your one child up. China will walk away and say, you're an idiot. Why would a God give up their son? See, that makes sense to us because we got a foundation for truth. They don't have that foundation. How old is your Old Testament? 4,000 years. I want you to think about something. When Jesus Christ came to His own people, they had 4,000 years of history and prophecies that pointed to His coming. When He came, Did the people openly, with open arms, receive him? What did they do to him? And they had 4,000 years of history. We want to go to a foreign field, walk in, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, by glory to God, hallelujah, get saved! We don't know what we're doing anymore. People who's never had a foundation even of Genesis, they're not going to get saved when they hear John 3:16. It didn't even work for the Jews. How's it going to work for people who don't have any foundation? When you're going to be fishers of men, you've got to lay a foundation first. And you've got to show them. A lot of times in our Sunday schools all over America, we need to go back to the Old Testament and start laying a foundation in the children's heart and even the adult's heart, so they can receive the gospel when it's presented to them. If there's no foundation of truth, and that's what's happened in America, the foundation's been damaged. We're hurting at the lowest levels right now of just basic things. You know, when I come back to America, I'm glad you have Sunday night service. That's great. How many churches don't have Sunday night services now? That's shameful for America. That's a shame to our culture, to our history, to our foundation, not to have a Sunday night service. There's no excuse for it. People go sit out in the snow and watch a football game, but they won't show up in church to be fed the manna. I don't know what to think about America. Every time I come home, I'm more and more, I say, Lord, maybe America needs me now. Can I go back to America and preach? I wish He'd let me come back, but there's a book called Jonah. God still has some whales, and I'm not going to test the water and find it. But you know what? Y'all stay faithful, church. There's this idea that I can just stay home and be close to God. I don't have to be in church. That's one of the greatest blights on our Christian as a nation right now, is I don't have to be in church. I can read the Bible myself. Where one or two are gathered together in my name, I'm there with them. You know that verse is not even talking about church worship? That's not what that verse is talking about. Anybody thinks that's talking about church? It's not talking about church. If you, that's another story, but you can talk to me after service and I'll tell you what that verse is talking about. But it's not talking about worship. Be in church, folks. Be in church. Stay in church. Don't let things distract you from church. I'm getting off subject. I need to get back going here. All right, now, after I finish the garden, there's four marks in the word create. There's four in the word garden. And by then, the Chinese is kind of, they're disarmed. I mean, there's nothing they can say anymore. I said, well, I'll show you another. Look at verse 9. Now the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight, good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now we all know this story, but something about that, those trees, verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. From the day thou eatest of thereof, thou shalt surely die. Right, this is the first time you have the idea of being forbidden to do something. This is the word to forbid. All right? When God first forbid man to do something, He forbid man to take of what? The trees. What do you think that is? That's trees. Now, again, when the Chinese see this, that Mao falls to the ground. You mean my fathers knew this? Well, so I don't know. I wasn't there, but your language was. What does your language tell you? They were there. They understood it. All right? The next part here is the word to warn or to show. When you got the idea of forbidden, God was faithful to warn man of the trees. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. There's a warning. God forbid them to do something. You know, God's always faithful to tell us what we should and shouldn't do. It's not that we don't understand God. We do. We play dumb. We play stupid sometimes. We know what sin is. Right? We know. God's faithful to warn. We're not faithful to listen. And then when sin catches us, oh God, you don't love me anymore. Oh. No. God loves you. You just ain't listening. Now, if you don't want to listen to God, all right, you've opened a door for something to get you. Any door, when things are getting you in your life, that's something you open. God didn't open it. When you open doors to sin, you need to get ready. Sin's going to come and find you. Don't open the door and you have nothing to worry about. You know, really, the Bible is really easy to understand. We just don't like what it says. If you'll be honest with yourself, many of you won't read it for the one reason you know when I read it, it's going to show me something, and I don't want to know that I'm not supposed to be doing that. Right? Everybody say amen. A little louder. All right. You know what the Bible says. I know what the Bible says. They know what the Bible says. We can understand it. It don't have to be rewritten. We understand it, and we just don't like what we read. All right? They'll look at that, and then when you look at that verse, you know, what's even interesting, it says, thou shalt surely die. What did God have to say, surely? It's enough to say that you'll die, and He doesn't say you'll surely die. Why? He knew His creation. We're dumb. Like a bunch of sheep. You know, sheep is one of the dumbest animals there are. You know that, right? He had to spell it out for us. That's how clear the Bible is. If you're dabbling in some sins, you know surely what it is. And you know surely it's going to get you, but you're not going to cry until it gets you. You're going to try to abuse God's grace and laugh about it until it bites, and when it bites, oh God, you don't love me anymore. No. Why play around with God's grace? America needs revival. If we don't have revival, the same thing that happened in China will happen here. Two more characters. This is the turn to Genesis 3:1. Now Genesis 3:1, now they'll, if I can get them to this point here, I pretty much got them on the hook. A lot of times you can only show them one character, and that's all they can take at that time. That's fine. You just wait, and they'll come back later, and you show them the second character. Sometimes I can go through all five characters with them. Sometimes, most times it's just half of them. That's fine. You give them a little bit, and they'll come back for more. Now, Genesis 3:1, if I can get them this point, I pretty much have them. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And He said unto the woman, yea, if God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. All right, now the serpent is more subtle. Now this is the word for tempter, or the word for devil, they call it tempter. Now if we take this word apart, this first part here, right here, this is the word that has to do something secretly or privately. This part here, that's the word for man or son. Of course, when you think of Lucifer, he's called one of the sons of the morning. He's a son of God. He's one of the angels that were created, or the cherubims. He was a son. And so those angels are also called the sons of God. So this tempter came in. He did something secretly. He's a man. This little box part here, that's the word for field. In that field, there's motion. That's movement, that little apostrophe. And what's those two things? Trees. Of course, in that field were some trees. All right. So there's trees there, and this upside down L there has got to do with being something, a very broad or open area there. So when they see this, if their character of tempter or the devil captures everything in Genesis 3:1. The serpent is more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And so when they look at this, now I can write this character here, and they're afraid. They're scared. Miss Mills, we don't like him. Did you know that just about all cultures have a true understanding of who the devil is? They just don't believe there's a God, but they believe there's a devil. But most cultures believe the devil controls the outcome of your life, not God. They think the devil, once you go to hell and you suffer a while for your sins, the devil will release you, you can be reincarnated, you can come back and do something. But most cultures got a true belief in the devil. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing how most cultures know there is a devil. And when I write that, they're afraid of it. They say, we don't want to talk about him. He's bad. You know what? You do some things. Oh, I didn't have my phone on. That's bad. I said, where's that coming from? But when you talk about there's a devil right there. Yeah. But when you talk about the devil, They realized it, and they said, "We're afraid of it. We're afraid of it. We don't like that." And I've always been just amazed by that. In America, what do? On Halloween, we dress up our kids as devils. Ain't that something? Even adults will put on horns. Ain't that something? China? No. Very afraid. Now, when they get to this part here, they'll say, "Mr. Mills, we don't want the devil to get us. Is there any way we can be right?" Now, that's asking the right question. Now, after, of course, we know the story. There's a lot of other characters I can put in between this. But we know they ate the fruit. And after they ate the fruit, this will be the last character here, this word for righteousness. Adam and Eve ate the fruit. They hid themselves, verse 8. And then you go to the end of the chapter there. Verse 21, it says, And Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Now remember, God said, the day you eat that fruit, you'll what? Surely die. See, Adam and Eve, they're supposed to die. Right there and then. Why did God not kill them? Yeah, but there's another reason too. You might not have ever quite saw this. Now when God called out to Adam and said, "Adam, where art thou?" Did God know where Adam was? He's not asking for himself. Church, where art thou? God knows. But do you know? Where are you at in your Christian life? Church, where art thou? Christian, where art thou? He knows. God's always going to call. He's going to call with the expectation you're going to answer. Now, if you don't answer, you'll die. Did Adam and Eve answer? They did. What if they didn't answer? They'd have died. Adam, art thou? He answered. He said, "I'm over here hiding behind that tree." "Why are you hiding?" "I'm naked." "Who told you were naked?" Did God know the answers to all those? He knew. Adam had to come out and confess it. You've got to confess, "All right, Lord, I haven't been in church. I haven't been tithing. I haven't been reading. I haven't been praying. I haven't been witnessing. Church, where art thou? Christian, where art thou?" God knows. Do you know where you're at? If you don't confess, God's going to come looking for you. "Thou shalt surely die." God don't play games with you. That ain't just some story to just teach children. That story is more relevant to us adults than it is to children right now. "Where art thou? Where art thou?" God knows. Now, do you know where you're at? You better know where you're at. You know if you're eating some things you're not supposed to be eating of. "And day you eat of that fruit, you'll surely die." If you're dabbling in some sins, you'll surely die. God's going to kill you. But He's a loving God. That's why He's going to kill you. Now, if you know your Bible, that makes sense. If you don't know your Bible, you say, "That don't make sense." How much of your Bible do you read every week? See, when you know what God says, it don't offend you. If you don't know what God says, you're easily offended. All right, so unto Adam and his wife, he said, and unto Adam and also to his wife, verse 21, the Lord God made coats of skin and He clothed them. They had those fig leaves on. They were trying to do it their way. They wanted to hide their nakedness. So God can't see me. You can try to hide all you want. God can see through anything. You're not going to hide from God. "Where art thou? America, where art thou? Churches, where art thou? Christians, where are you? Where are you?" You know what? San Antonio needs you. San Antonio needs you. Oh, y'all scared me there. Texas needs you. Thank you. America needs you. China needs you. But you got to start here. This community needs you. All right? This is the word righteousness. I'll write this. And they'll say, Mr. Mills, is there any way I can be right? And I said, sure. This is the word for lamb. What did God clothe Adam and Eve with? When John the Baptist saw Jesus come, he said, behold the what? Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. You know what? This part here is the word I or me. When I'm under the lamb, they put them coats of skin on. This lamb died for me. Every morning they got dressed. God told me the day I eat that fruit, I'll surely die. This lamb had to die for me. Because of it dying for me, I can be right with God. Those sacrifices, when they killed that lamb, they realized it's dying for me. Without the shedding of blood, no remission. They had to kill that lamb, shed the blood, make a sacrifice. Surely, every time that lamb died, that was supposed to be me. Let me ask you something. Are you under the lamb? I didn't ask you if you're a member of this church or some other church. Are you under the lamb? You should be under the lamb. When China sees this, when I show it to them, they'll look at me and say, well, Mr. Mills, can I get under the lamb? I say, well, yeah, you can get under the lamb. God said, I'll make you what? I ain't using cheese. I ain't using peanut butter. I'm using something they can taste. They can taste that. They can feel it, sense it. It's something that's them. And when they get a hold of this, they'll say, well, Mr., I want to get under the lamb. Are you under the lamb? You know what? If you're saved, you're supposed to be serving. Are you serving? Pastor, don't come up. Are you serving? You know, you're supposed to be servants as a church. You've got people you can serve. I can't reach the people in San Antonio. You can. This church can. God's going to use this church to be a blessing to the people here. But for this church to be a blessing to this area, God needs you.